With Progressive, it's easy to reach customer service with our app, website, chat, or by phone. Because when getting help is hard, it's not help at all.
A little help. A little help over here.
Thank you for calling Bench Press Assistance.
What?
Due to excessive gym volume, all available spotters are currently lifting heavy weights off the chests of other bench pressers.
Seriously?
Please continue to hold, and we will remove the barbell from your chest in the order in which your cry for help was received.
Getting assistance should be easy. With Progressive, it is. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Today in the headlines, a $2.5 million project is aiming to overcome the factors limiting cervical screening among First Nations women. One man has died, another is in hospital with serious wounds after a shooting outside a hotel in Sydney's Inner West, and two people have sustained minor injuries after their light plane crashed on a golf course in Sydney's Northern Beaches. That and more coming up in the news. A $2.5 million project is aiming to overcome the factors limiting cervical screening among First Nations women. The funding has also been granted over 3 years to Southern Cross University in partnership with Aboriginal community-controlled health organisations. In Australia, the death rate for cervical cancer among Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women is 4 times greater than that for non-Indigenous women. Dr. Marilyn Clark says the project, named Sister Screen, aims to reduce the statistic by co-designing strategies to increase cervical screenings during pregnancy and after babies are born.
It's really important that any healthcare intervention or strategy or screening program involves First Nations people from the ground up. So with this project, we're planning to start from the ground in the Aboriginal community with First Nations women to develop strategies as to what they think is going to work best.
One man has died and another is in hospital with serious wounds after a shooting outside a hotel in Sydney's Inner West on the 17th of August. Emergency services were called to the Harold Hotel on Ross Street, Forest Lodge, at about 6:40 p.m. following reports of a shooting. Police said two people had been shot multiple times by unknown attackers before fleeing in a car. One witness spoke to Channel 9 about the harrowing scene.
And then when I walked around the corner, I saw the guy that had been shot. One of them had been shot, was lying on the ground. So I ran up to him, and then probably 30 seconds later, some doctors and some other ladies that were inside the Harold Hotel came out.
One of the victims died at the scene. Another was taken to hospital in serious condition. Two people have sustained minor injuries after their light plane crashed on a golf course on Sydney's Northern Beaches. The forced landing happened during a training flight with an instructor and student on board. It's not known what caused the accident. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese says artificial intelligence will be a key focus at the government's productivity roundtable, which begins tomorrow, 19th of August. The 3-day summit is aimed at jump-starting productivity, which has lagged over the last decade, weighing down the economy. Mr. Albanese says he looks forward to engaging with business, union and civil society leaders who have been invited.
To put forward their ideas about how we deal with the economic challenges of boosting productivity, how we deal with the transition, with complex issues such as artificial intelligence, which has the opportunity, as we've seen here today with some of the showcase, to really boost productivity. But we need to make sure that it operates in the interests of people as well. So how do we train Australians for the jobs of the future? And that is a priority for us.
Protect your home and auto by bundling them with Progressive, and you'll have a little less to worry about. But we know you'll find other things to worry about. Like that text you just got from your boss.
Hey, call me when you get a sec. Hey, call me when you get a sec.
Hey, call me when you get a sec.
Hey, call me when you get a sec.
Yeah, this is bad.
Oh, well, at least you protected your home and auto with Progressive, so you don't have to worry about that. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.
The family of Emma Lovell, murdered during a Boxing Day in 2022 home invasion, say they are heartbroken after her teenage killer's sentence was cut by almost 18 months on appeal. The boy, 17 at the time, fatally stabbed Miss Lovell after breaking into her home north of Brisbane. His minimum detention term has been reduced from about 9 years and 9 months to 8 years and 4 months. Victims of Youth Crime Ambassador Lindy Atkinson, who has supported the family since before the sentencing, says the decision has caused them further trauma. European leaders say locking down robust security guarantees for Ukraine will be a key priority when they join Vladimir Zelensky at a meeting with Donald Trump in Washington. The heads of Britain, Italy, Finland, and France will attend the meeting with Ukraine's president, who is under pressure from the US president to accept a deal after Mr. Trump met face-to-face with Russian President Vladimir Putin in Alaska on Friday. European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen will also attend the meeting at the White House. She says a peace deal will not be reached without adequate security protections.
First, we must have strong security guarantees to protect both Ukraine and Europe's vital security interests. Ukraine must be able to uphold its sovereignty and its territorial integrity. There can be no limitations on Ukrainian armed forces.
And now in sport, Manly's attack has misfired again in a fierce blow to their NRL finals hopes, while West Tigers kept theirs alive with a dominating 26-12 win. Tries in the first and 79th minutes on Sunday at Allianz Stadium took Manly's tally to just 32 points in their past four games, all losses. It was a dagger blow to Manly's finals hopes, with the Sea Eagles now likely needing to win all three remaining games to be a top eight chance. West Tigers head coach Benji Marshall says he's happy with how the team played.
Just the effort and the fight we showed today. I thought, obviously a desperate Manly team on the points they are, needing to probably win to make the semis. I thought we toughed out and played some pretty high quality footy. But just the attitude towards the way we want to play. This week they trained accordingly.
And the 16th placed Newcastle Knights have suffered their sixth loss in a row, kept scoreless in the first half of the North Queensland Cowboys in a 38-4 defeat. It was the 11th time this year the Knights have failed to register a point during the opening 40 minutes of the game. Cowboys half-eighth Jake Clifford says his team's strength in the first half carried them through the game.
It was good to come up against a few of the boys I got to share the Newcastle jersey with and get one over them. But, I really thought we put a really good 40 minutes together and it set us up for the rest of the game.
And now for a look at today's weather. Perth is mostly sunny at 23. Adelaide is mostly sunny at 16. Melbourne is cloudy at 14, Hobart is partly cloudy at 13, Canberra is partly cloudy at 14, Wollongong is seeing showers at 15, Sydney also showers at 15, and Newcastle, some showers at 16, Brisbane, possible late showers at 22, Cairns is sunny at 28, and Darwin is sunny at 32. And that wraps up everything in the news, sport and weather. You're listening to NITV Radio. As international aid dwindles, refugees worldwide face worsening food insecurity. Among thousands displaced by ongoing conflict in Myanmar, experts warn a humanitarian crisis is looming. Those who found refuge in Australia are working to keep culture alive, as NITV Radio reports. Creating colourful fabric is a focus for Sister Lei To, who's part of a weaving group in Perth.
Clothes that I make myself, when I wear it, I feel like I'm happy, proud of myself that I make the clothes.
Miss To is among 15,000 Karen in Australia. Like many, she fled conflict in her homeland, Myanmar.
Because the military came to our village very often, they wanted to destroy, burned out the house, sometimes also looting and killing. We can't live there anymore, so we moved to Thai refugee camps.
The Karen are a large ethnic group in Myanmar, and weaving is central to their cultural identity. However, civil war following a military coup in 2021 has forced thousands to flee. Many struggle to survive harsh conditions in camps along the Thai border. Mu Lei Song Sung explains.
Current people who are living in refugee camps and facing lots of problem at the moment due to the food shortage and also the health care services. There's still lots of needs.
With limited access to work, many families barely subsist. But returning to Myanmar is too dangerous. Thousands of civilians have died in recent conflict, and agencies estimate around 30,000 were detained. A United Nations report released this week, drawing on more than 1,300 sources, also documents what it calls systematic torture over the past year. Dr. Graham Tom is Advocacy Co-Coordinator at the Refugee Council of Australia and recently back from a fact-finding mission. He says conditions for Karen communities in refugee camps are becoming dire. Cuts to international assistance, including USAID, are impacting food security.
There's 9 camps on the Thai-Burma border with over 100,000 people. They're totally dependent on aid. And so when there are significant cuts to aid, this has created incredible hardships for the people in the camps. The Karen are one of those groups that are particularly suffering.
Many Karen, including Mu Lei Song Sang, have sought safety elsewhere, including Australia.
I was so excited and so happy to come to Australia because I know that if I come to here, there will be more like freedom. Don't need to be afraid of anything. Whatever we want to learn, we have nothing stop us from, you know, going to school.
However, like many Karen, Miss Song Sang fears traditional Karen skills like weaving are in danger of being lost. So, 2 years ago, she revitalised a weaving group in Perth suburb of Mirrabooka.
It's really important pathway to healing, like because we are from a refugee background and we have like some lots of trauma.
Each week, a group of Karen women meet to work on their creative designs.
Back in our culture, blue, red and white is the famous colour. Red represent bravery. So every Friday, this room comes alive, like it's full of fun, joy, and they produce really nice crafts. And we also sell some of our product and they can get some of their, you know, income.
As it has been for centuries, Karen cloth is made on handheld looms carved from recycled timber. Miss Song Sang says some is collected from the roadside.
We just use whatever around like our environment. We use like whatever we have, like bamboo, you know, wood, and then our elderly men make it into the shape.
Skills are passed from mother to daughter, so Miss To says weaving cloth helps Karen women to celebrate and preserve their unique cultural identity.
It is really important to keep it alive and also to practice and to remember the culture and the skill that our great-grandparents have and then show it to the next generation.
That story by Christopher Tan for SBS News, produced by Nari Pakai for NITV Radio. You're listening to NITV Radio. I'm Nari Pakai, and Isaac Windsor is an emerging filmmaker. He has worked on documentaries, short films, TVCs, and music videos over the last 5 years. His work will be showcased at the upcoming Durban Fuse Festival in September 2025. Thanks for joining us today, Isaac.
Yeah, awesome to be on. Thank you for having me.
So can you tell us a little bit about you? Who are you? Who's your mob? What do you do?
Yeah, so I'm a Ngarrable man from northern New South Wales. I've been living down in Naarm since 2019, though. So I work as a freelance editor and a videographer. I've also written and directed several short films and music videos over the last couple of years. And also a dad to a gorgeous little bubba and a little fella as well.
First Nations cultures, languages and identity have been significant themes to your filmmaking and your work. Can you share what has been your filmmaking journey? How did you get here?
Yeah, so I went and did a film degree in 2019 in the city in Naarm, and I finished that up in 2021. Coming out the other side of that, that was COVID times as well. So there was quite a bit of chaos and things during the degree, but I had some awesome opportunities while I was working on that. So I set out to make a short film, independently produced. I wanted to make something that was influenced by my experiences of culture, language, and identity. I wanted to find my own creative voice and just show how I see the world as a Ngarrable person and my values too. So independently producing and directing that work, I got to meet a whole network of other First Nations creatives that led to working with the musician Paritu in 2023, so I directed a few music videos for him. And then that led to working with the Indigenous Literacy Foundation that same year as well. I've had an awesome couple of years with them. I've been working with some great mob from their organisation on some really deadly projects. I filmed down in Katherine in NT earlier this year. So I've co-directed and I shot for this year's Indigenous Literacy Day film. So my journey's sort of been, as I've embraced my culture and my identity and my work, it's sort of had this spillover effect where I'm collaborating with and working with all these other mob. I'm giving my talents to telling their stories now too, and I'm building my own storytelling on the foundation of my identity and how I see the world. I've implemented that a lot into works that I've done recently, some of my own personal storytelling works.
Protect your home and auto by bundling them with Progressive, and you'll have a little less to worry about. But we know you'll find other things to worry about. Like that text you just got from your boss. Hey, call me when you get a sec. Hey, call me when you get a sec. Hey, call me when you get a sec. Oh, hey, call me when you get a sec. Yeah, this is bad. Oh, well, at least you protected your home and auto with Progressive, so you don't have to worry about that. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Which include a short film and a handful of music videos independently produced and directed over the last couple of years. So as someone who, I've been in love with cinema since I was a teenager and just what visual storytelling can do. And I think back when I originally went and did that film degree, I just noticed this bit of a vacant space for mob telling our stories on screen and culture. There were so many just opportunities in that space for us to tell our stories, and I really wanted to contribute to that and really wanted to be able to be someone who was able to build that as well. So something I've found as well is that language as well, which I feel really passionate about, I've sort of found that there's this great little space for language as well in film that perhaps in other art forms as well can't shine through as brightly. There's just something about the visual medium and us mob getting to speak and teach their language that has this really great, it's got this really great way of translating that through the visual medium on screen. And so I've become really passionate about being able to do that as well over the last couple of years. I've had some really great opportunities with that too. This is just sort of brought on bigger and bigger horizons for me, working with and collaborating with all these other mob. Over the last couple of years, I've gotten to work with Moogie Down Productions in NT. I've worked with Wayne Quilliam on some projects as well. And yeah, as I said, the horizons just keep getting bigger and bigger. I've got some of my work screening in Fed Square in the city at the moment. It's currently screening. The ILD film, which I mentioned earlier this year, will be screening at the Sydney Opera House next month. And of course, now there's being part of this year's Darebin Jews Festival as well. So it's expanded my horizons, created more opportunities, and I've really found my own space with implementing culture and language and sort of my own style and my own voice in doing that over the last few years as well, as I've just allowed myself to you know, speak my own personal stories and my own culture into the work that I do.
The Darebin Fuse Festival is kicking off on the 31st of August and it's running through all of September in Melbourne. So it's just about to happen. Your work is going to be featured there in a collection of short films. Can you tell us what are we going to be seeing from there? What will the day look like?
Yeah, so we've got a really deadly First Nations film night happening at the Formbury Picture House, which is an awesome sort of cultural destination for Darebin as well. I'll be screening my new short film, Upper Hand, as well as those two original music videos I mentioned before that I made with Paritu, our singer-songwriter, Nyampa musician man Paritu, back in 2023 for his song Secret Shape and Out on a Whim. And we'll also be having a couple of other films showcased on the night as well. We've got Wittingana by Jazz Money, and we've also got another documentary called Lady Lash. So it's going to be a really awesome night. We've got three different slots of those films and spread out with lots of time for yarns, some drinks as well at a really beautiful destination. And we're finishing the night off with a Q&A as well with me and Paritu.
So your short film, Upper Hand, can you tell us what a little bit of that is about? What are audiences going to see?
Yeah, so Upper Hand was sort of me telling my personal journey of complex PTSD and different mental health issues I worked through as a teenager and sort of becoming an adult, and I think over a decade sort of working through those different things. So it's quite a personal story, and it's sort of reflecting on that time I had as a teenager, and you know, some of my, you know, brothers as well, or some of my family and stuff, that they're really reflected in the story of this main character who is a teenager in high school, and he's dealing with complex PTSD of a sort of mental health issues as well, how that affects his relationship with his mum, and then also how that sort of plays into modern Western institutions as well. So in this situation, it's a high school as well, the authoritarian structure of that. There's some beautiful moments there too. We have a really deadly actor, First Nations actor Corey Brunskill, who he sort of plays a bit of a mentor for this young fella and gives him some advice on how to deal with what he's feeling and process what he's feeling and that type of thing as well. Almost a slice of life type of thing, but embedded in this really beautifully written drama. Gets people to sort of see what life might be like with living with complex PTSD or, childhood sort of trauma issues and other health issues that are things that I think sit just beneath the surface in society and in a lot of lives that we don't talk about, or it's something that we don't bring up a lot. And so it's sort of airing that out a little bit. That's what this film's about, yeah.
And not only are you showing these short films on the night too, there's also going to be a panel discussion where you can go a little bit deeper. What kind of discussions will you be having?
Yeah, so obviously my new film, Upper Hand, which I just mentioned, that focuses on the themes of mental health, particularly PTSD and trauma, and how that plays out in modern Western institutions as well. So me and Tarichi both have sort of interesting perspectives on what it's like working and, you know, like being a part of these institutions too. So there's hopefully some good discussion around that. I know with Brett as well, mental health is a big theme in the song for Secret Shape and the music video that we did as well. So we'll be chatting about, I guess, how that plays out in Brett's work and his life, and also how we collaborated to implement that into the music videos. And I think just the experience of collaborating, both of us being mob as well, we're both New South Wales mob as well, which is... that was really interesting to sort of find out when I first met him. And, you know, when we first met up, we had a great, like, yarn with each other and about that, and similarities in our cultures and that, both being New South Wales mob. But, yeah, we had some fantastic actors involved as well, some First Nations actors. We had Monica Jasmine and Samsa Binsard as well, who's a really incredible contemporary dance actor as well. Just a bunch of non-actors, a lot of Paritu's community in Darabin. Some of his mob that's community in Darabin as well were a part of the music videos. And so we had some really memorable experiences collaborating with each other and then also collaborating with them as a sort of team to do these music videos. I think we have some interesting perspectives too on how our lives and our places in our communities, both of us sort of individually, but there's a lot of crossover in common there as well, how that emotionally and physically affects our creative lives.
With this showing of collection of works, it's not just your own, but also a few other filmmakers too. What do you hope that audiences who come and watch will see, feel and experience?
Yeah, probably some key emotions. I think empathy, joy. I think sort of finding the value in being there for each other and just looking out for each other. That's something that is important to us as mob, is always looking out for your mob. As part of being part of a community as well, looking out for each other is so important. Looking out for vulnerable people too. Like my experience of art, and especially film, is that it places you right into someone else's shoes. Upper Hand, I think, as I mentioned before, it shows a side of the world that sort of sits under the surface, I guess, and a lot of people find that difficult to swallow. And the goal with the film was to show what life for someone like that looks like, but to show that sort of powerfully and gracefully as well. Yeah, hopefully it's a good opportunity for people to understand what life with complex PTSD and childhood trauma, and I think just mental health issues as a teenager, and yeah, what that can look like. Brett's music as well is very soulful, it's very spiritual, and his music, every one of his songs take you on a personal journey of his life too. I know that's sort of his manifesto, is he always wants to breathe his own experiences and his own life into his music. And I think that really shines through into the music videos that we've made as well. So they're both sort of very personal work, and it's full of really full of real emotions. And I hope the audience can strongly feel that, feel those emotions that we've put forward into our work, really come across into gaining, I guess, new perspectives on seeing things from, you know, someone at someone else's shoes. That can really result in some new experiences. And I think that viewing the whole work can be an experience in itself of, it can almost be like meeting a new person, making a new friend. I think that the Q&A, us getting to have that opportunity there to discuss our personal lives, have played into those works, is going to be a really good opportunity for pushing that forward too.
For anyone who is seeking more information to attend or to follow up on what your upcoming works are, where can they find you? Where can they go?
With Progressive, it's easy to reach customer service with our app, website, chat, or by phone. Because when getting help is hard, it's not help at all.
Little help. little help over here?
Thank you for calling Bench Press Assistance.
What?
Due to excessive gym volume, all available spotters are currently lifting heavy weights off the chests of other bench pressers.
Seriously?
Please continue to hold, and we will remove the barbell from your chest in the order in which your cry for help was received.
Getting assistance should be easy. With Progressive, it is. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Yeah, so if you want to get tickets to the Fuse films and that, it's just on the Darabin Fuse Festival website. You'll be able to book tickets. I believe tickets are free to the Fuse films event, which is like really awesome. It's a very accessible event. And in terms of following my work as well, I have a little production company that I've started called Borobi Films. Borobi means koala in the Ngarrable language. And so that's sort of been my sort of personal outlet for works that I've, but works that I've really driven forward myself, co-produced as well. So yeah, if you just go and search up Borobi Films, we've got social media and that type of thing, and you can be able to see some of my latest projects and upcoming things that I'm working on there too.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on and sharing with us today, Isaac.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's been so lovely.
That was Isaac Windsor, an emerging filmmaker showing a collection of films along with the First Nations films for Durban Fuse Festival. You can catch his work, Upper Hand, on Tuesday, the 2nd of September is the date that this collection of films will be shown, with the pre-show mingle starting at 6 p.m. For more information, you can find that on Durban Art's website. You've been listening to NITV Radio. Yama, you're listening to NITV Radio. Farsan, Indigenous Storytellers Scholarship, aims to connect emerging deadly creatives in culture, dance and storytelling in various art forms, whether that be to mentor or pursue and share their artistry. Today, we're joined by Sean Kinchela, winner of the Storytellers Scholarship. Thanks for yarning with us today, Sean.
Thank you for having me aboard. Yamanianu. Hello, everyone. So my name's Sean Kinchela. I'm a Gimmelora and Wiradjuri man. My family come from northern western New South Wales, stretching from Coonabarabran, Moree, Narrabri, down to Wellington.
This was announced, you're winning this scholarship, just this last week, right, with a whole event day showcasing the many talented finalists. How do you feel?
Oh, I'm still taking it all in. It still feels very surreal. I was appreciative to be a finalist, let alone a winner. I felt like a winner just being a finalist and having my work recognised. So winning the scholarship has really pushed me to reach for more.
You are one of 9 scholarship finalists that were at the very end there. Some of the storytellers focused on music, fashion and like dance. What is it that you do as a storyteller?
So I have a pretty broad range of mediums. So I entered as a photographer this year. In previous years, I've entered as a digital artist and a photographer. But me as a storyteller, I paint, I write music, I do photos and videos as well as graphic design. My stories come from family, country, and I also draw inspiration from where I live and what I'm surrounded by.
So not only are you a recipient of a cash scholarship, but it's also a mentoring scholarship with industry professionals. Who are you working with and what do you hope to develop in this opportunity, in this pathway?
Yeah, so I'm lucky enough to also be mentored by another Gimmelora Wiradjuri woman, Marley Morgan, who's an incredible photographer. So I just hope to learn anything I can. Like I look at her portraits and everything just looks natural. The people in a portraits look relaxed, posed correctly, connected to country. So yeah, I'm just willing to learn whatever I can along the way.
We have talked a little bit about what's happening right now for you, but can you share us your journey to get here? What has been your creative storytelling story?
So yeah, I've been painting, writing, taking photos for a long time. I've just recently gotten into photography for the past 5 years. Before that, I've done a lot of painting and I design a lot of jerseys for the NRL, Parramatta Eels. I just had one released last week. I've gotten into photography. I live on the far south coast of New South Wales, so it's kind of hard not to own a camera. It's like paradise down this way. And yeah, I'm just pushing for recognition. I don't feel like there's enough recognition for Indigenous photographers out there. Yeah, I just really hope I can push further. I'd really love to be to become a Sony ambassador. Like I shoot everything on Sony cameras. I'd love to be an ambassador for Australian Geographic one day. A lot of my photos, I'm trying to push for education around looking after country, looking after the animals, and just telling stories and keeping our culture I love.
Yeah. Does photography really fill your cultural cup?
It does, because I live off country. I live on the far south coast, so I'm 15 hours away from home country. It's a way for me to stay connected and keep practicing and put it on a platform for everyone to see. I take it as an obligation, like I said in my speech when I won the scholarship. Not everyone's gifted as a storyteller, but I feel like the people that do have the gift of storytelling, whether it's painting, singing, writing, I feel like we have that responsibility to tell them stories for the people that can't.
For people who are looking to see more of your work, want to know more information of what's coming up for you, how do they, one, follow what you're doing, or two, get in contact with you with the work that you're going to do?
Yeah, so I have two Instagrams, one for my artworks and graphic design. So my Instagram's Local Famous. And for my photography, I have Local Famous Photography. And I post a lot of in between them too of what I'm doing. So it's a work. I'm keen. I love connecting with people. That's the main reason why I do what I do. I love connecting with people from all across the country and internationally as well.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on and sharing this achievement with us today.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate having the time to talk to you guys and share my journey.
That was Sean Kinchela, winner of the Indigenous Storytellers Scholarship, artist, photographer and graphic designer of Local Famous. You've been listening to NITV Radio.
With Progressive, it's easy to reach customer service with our app, website, chat, or by phone. Because when getting help is hard, it's not help at all.
A little help. A little help over here.
Thank you for calling Bench Press Assistance.
What?
Due to excessive gym volume, all available spotters are currently lifting heavy weights off the chests of other bench pressers.
Seriously?
Please continue to hold, and we will remove the barbell from your chest in the order in which your cry for help was received.
Getting assistance should be easy. With Progressive, it is. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.